الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading the chapter the author she mentioned حفظها الله تعالى النساء ناقصات عقل ودين that the women they have shortcomings deficiencies in their reasoning and religion she says قال الإمام مسلم رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن رمح ابن المهاجر المصري قال أخبرنا الليث عن ابن الهاد عن عبد الله بن دينار عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يا معشر النساء تصدقنا وأكثرنا الاستغفار فإني رأيتكن أكثر أهل النار The author, she mentioned the narration of Imam Muslim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, with his chain to Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya ma'ashara nisa, tasaddaqna wa akthirna al-istighfar. O you assembly of women, O assembly of women, give in charity and seek forgiveness often. Give charity, tasaddaqna. وَأَكْثِرْنَا الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ And seek forgiveness often. And seek forgiveness often. فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُكُنَّ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ Because indeed, I have seen you as the majority of the inhabitants of the fire. I have seen you as the majority of the inhabitants of the fire. فَقَالَتْ أَمْرَأَةٌ مِّنْهُنَّ جَزْلَةٌ And now a woman from amongst them She mentions, وَمَا لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ And the woman, she asked and she says, Why are we the majority of the people of the hellfire, O Messenger of Allah? صلى الله عليه وسلم She's asking to learn the reason in order to be aware of this affair and upon insight with regards to that. And upon insight with regards to that, with hopes to avoid it and stay away from it. With hopes to avoid it and stay away from it. قَالَ تُكْفِرْنَا اللَّعْنَ وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْأَشِيرِ The Prophet ﷺ he said, Because you make too many curses and you refuse to acknowledge your husband's good treatment. Because you make too many curses. تُكْفِرْنَا اللَّعْنَ You're cursing people often. And he meant putting the curse of Allah on them and calling them names, speaking bad about them and the likes like this. تُكْفِرْنَا اللَّعْنَ وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْأَشِيرِ And you refuse to acknowledge your husband's good treatment. The ashir, yani azzawj. Yani azzawj. You are ungrateful to your husbands. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ نَقِصَاتِ أَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ أَغْلَبَ لِذِي لُبٍ مِنْكُنَّ And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have not seen one having more of a shortcoming in reasoning and religion, yet at the same time taking the wisdom of a wise man more than the likes of you. More than the likes of you. قَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ At this time she says, O Messenger of Allah, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَا نُقْصَانُ الْأَقْلِ وَالدِّينِ وَمَا نُقْصَانُ الْأَقْلِ وَالدِّينِ And what does it mean here to have a shortcoming or deficiency in reasoning and in religion? In reasoning and religion. And what is the intent and understanding of this affair? قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أما نقصان الأقل فشهادة امرأتين تعدل شهادة رجل As for the shortcoming or deficiency in reasoning, then that is the fact that the testimony of two women is equal to that of a man. The testimony of two women is equal to that of a man. فهذا النقصان الأقل So this is the deficiency or shortcoming in the reasoning. وتمكث الليالي ما تصلي وتفطر في رمضان فَهَذَا النُّقْصَانُ الدِّينِ وَتَمْكُثُ الْلِيَالِيَ مَا تُصَلِّي وَتُفْطِرُ فِي رَمَضَانِ فَهَذَا نُقْصَانُ الدِّينِ And she stays for days without performing salah, meaning while she's on her menses. And she breaks her fast. And she breaks her fast during the daytime of Ramadan, meaning because of her menses likewise. And this is the shortcoming or deficiency in the religion. And this is the shortcoming or deficiency in And the religion. So this is a very great and beneficial narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's been narrated by a number of companions, a similar narration like this, also collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. From the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Uritu an-nar, uritu an-nar," that I was shown the hellfire. فَإِذَا أَكْثَرُ أَهْلِهَا النِّسَاءِ, and I seen that the majority of the dwellers of the fire, they're women. يَكْفُرْنَ, يَكْفُرْنَ, they're making kufr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, يَكْفُرْنَ, they're making al-kufr. قِيلَ أَيَكْفُرْنَ بِاللَّهِ, it was said to him at this time, أَيَكْفُرْنَ بِاللَّهِ, do you mean they're making kufr with Allah? Subhanahu wa ta'ala, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yakfurna al-ashir. Rather, they're making kufr with the ashir. The ashir is the zawj, is the husband. Wa yakfurna al-ihsan. And they're making kufr likewise with the ihsan, meaning the good that the husband, he does. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, law ahsanta ila ihdahunna al-dahar, ثُمَّ رَأَتْ مِنْكَ شَيْئًا قَالَتْ مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرٌ قَطٌ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were to do good to one of these women who are from the hellfire, they are ungrateful to their husbands, and they do not recognize his good treatment and the good that he has, that if you were to do good to one of them all forever, and الدهر, if you were to constantly be good to them, and then she sees something from you that she didn't like or approve of, قَالَتْ مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرٌ قَالْ, she would say at this time, I never seen you do any good ever. So this is a clarification likewise of this narration here by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and that the issue here of the kufr, وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْأَشِيرِ, وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْأَشِيرِ, that you are ungrateful to your husbands and you do not recognize the good treatment that he has. This is what is intended here. It is al-kufr. It is al-kufr, yani kufr and ni'ma. It's known as kufran and ni'ma. The kufr being referred to here is not the kufr, which is known as disbelief. That's what's clarified in this narration. That's what came to mind first whenever they heard this narration. Ayakfurna billah? Do you mean they're making kufr with Allah? Meaning, are you saying that they're in the hellfire? The majority of them are women because they all disbelieved in Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified what is intended here, yakfurna al-ashir, wa yakfurna al-ihsan, that they are ungrateful. They're ungrateful to their husbands, and they do not acknowledge his good treatment. So here the word al-kufr, what is referring to is being ungrateful. Not acknowledging the good that is done to a person. So the word al-kufr lughatan, the word al-kufr lughatan, and even which many times we translate it to mean disbelief. But in the Arabic language, originally, it means satru ash-shay. Satru ash-shay. Yani to cover something. So the one who covers something is considered making kufr. And that's why from the terms of the fallahin, or the fallahun, they're called kufar. The farmers, because they take the seed and they plant it and cover it in the ground. This is also an understanding of this term. They take the seed and they plant it in the ground. So the farmers, the fallahun, they're also called kufar from this aspect. And likewise also in the legislative aspect as well, the kafir billah, waliyadhu billah, he has covered the natural disposition created in his soul and his heart. He has covered the fitrah with rejection and denial. So al-kufr originally means satru shay, satru ash-shay, and to cover something, So it said, وَيُقَالُ كُفْرُ النِّعْمَةُ وَكُفْرَانُهَا, yani in the Arabic language, with regards to blessings, and favors and good treatment, you say kufru an ni'ma wa kufranuha wa kufranu an ni'ma. And this means here to belie or to deny or to not recognize the blessings and favors and the good that has been done to a person, to fail to acknowledge the good that has been done to a person. Ay wa huwa satruha, بِتَرْكِ أَدَاءِ شُكْرِهَا. And so this is a person here, someone does good to them and they cover that goodness and do not acknowledge it and do not show any gratitude. So this is a type of kufr. This is a type of kufr. It's called kufran al-ni'mah. لكن أعظم الكفر هو جحود وحدانية الله سبحانه وتعالى وفي حقوقه وتوحيده وجحود النبوة والشريعة. This is the greatest aspect of al-kufr. The greatest aspect of al-kufr is to deny the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal and His rights in التوحيد, and to deny prophethood, and likewise to deny the legislation and belie that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. But there's a type of kufr less than that, and that's what's clarified in this narration, and that's from the great benefits of this narration. Likewise, that the word al-kufr sometimes is used to refer to that which is absolute disbelief, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, the action of disbelieving in Allah in the last day that takes a person out of the fold of al-Islam. And then there's another aspect of kufr that is lesser than that. That is lesser than that. There's a type of kufr that's called al-kufr dun al-kufr. That it's kufr, but it's lesser than major kufr. So here kufr is two types, kufrun akbar wa kufrun asgar. There's major kufr and there's minor kufr. And then there are other actions likewise that do not reach the level of major kufr, but they're described as being kufr to clarify the lowly way of that action and those who perform it. Like here, the word kufr, kufran al ni'ma, to kufran al ni'ma, wa kufran al ihsan, wa kufran al ashir, to be ungrateful for the blessings and favors and the good treatment, and to be ungrateful to the husband and the likes like this. This is all described as kufr to clarify that it's a foul and lowly way. Although this is not considered major disbelief. So this is with regards to al kufr. So you say al-kufru wal-kufran. Al-kufru wal-kufran. They have the same meaning, but generally the word al-kufr is referred to al-kufru fi al-deen, waliyadhu billah. Whenever the word kufr comes, normally or usually it's used to refer to disbelief in the religion. And whenever it's referred to being ungrateful, then many times it'll be used, the word al-kufran will be used. The word al-kufran will be used. So al-kufr, al-kufru billah. Wal-kufran, kufran al-ni'ma wal-ihsan. Wal-kufran, kufran al-ni'ma wal-ihsan. So whenever the word al-kufr is used normally or generally, it's referring to disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever it's in reference to being ungrateful, then the word al-kufran is used to refer to this aspect of kufr. Although that is not in the absolute sense. So again, the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya ma'ashara al-nisa. He called out the women specifically. O assembly of women, O you women. He's speaking to them directly. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving them sincere advice. Tasaddaqna. Tasaddaqna wa akthirna al-istighfar. You must give charity. You must give charity. And he meaning this must be a way that you perform, that you give charity often. You give charity often. You spend from your wealth in the path of Allah. You give it to the needy and to the poor and to the orphans and to those who need it and to those who need help and assistance and the likes like this. You spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal helping the believers. Wa akfirna al-istighfar, and seek forgiveness often. What is intended by al-istighfar here is a tawbah, and he repent to Allah Azza wa Jal often. And the word al-istighfar and al-tawbah, many times they're used as synonyms. And the true al-istighfar haqqan, is in reality al-tawbah. Meaning whenever a person who will seek forgiveness and repent to Allah Azza wa Jal based upon sincere faith and belief in Allah in the last day, and realizing the majesty and authority and command of Allah, and likewise realizing that a person violated the rights and transgressed the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then they have remorse in their heart and they feel bad. And they repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, and they have strong determination to never return. And they leave the sin and turn away from it and leave the avenues that lead to it. In this manner, a person, they would have made sincere repentance and sought forgiveness truthfully. So the al-istighfar that is intended here, هو توبة وصادرة عن الندم وترك الإصرار. It's a type of repentance. What is intended here to seek forgiveness often, meaning repent to Allah Azza wa Jal by having remorse for transgressing His limits and violating the rights of Al-Islam and not upholding the deen properly, and by leaving off persisting upon the sin, by avoiding and staying away from the sin. The people of Nar, as he mentioned, أما الاستغفار مع الإصرار فهذا حال المنافقين والأشرار والعياذ بالله. As for seeking forgiveness along with persisting upon the sin, and he's saying أستغفر الله, while at the same time the heart is determined to persist upon the sin and not to leave it, saying أستغفر الله أو أتوب إلى الله in the likes like this, saying أستغفر الله أو أتوب إلى الله in the likes like this, while the heart is persistent upon committing the sin and is not feeling remorse or having determination to avoid and leave the sin, rather the person who continue upon the sin along with saying astaghfirullah with his tongue, فهذه حال المنافقين والأشرار. هذا الاستغفار هو حال المنافقين والأشرار. This is the circumstance of the hypocrites and the evil ones. So a person, he must not make al-istighfar with the tongue only. Al-istighfar bil-lisani. فحسبوا توبة الكذابين. To repent simply with the tongue only, to make al-istighfar simply with the tongue only, this is the repentance of the liars. This is the repentance of the liars. Where the person, he must make al-istighfar and the tawbah with the tongue, no doubt about that, requesting Allah to forgive and to cover the sins and to pardon, along with having great remorse and feeling shame and feeling bad and having determination to not return and avoiding it and leaving the sin in entirety and avoiding it and staying away from it and leaving the avenues that lead to it. And leaving the avenues that lead to it. The one who fulfills these conditions here, then it's as if he has no sin. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu." At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. The one who truly, sincerely repents, seeks forgiveness for his sins, then it's like the one who has no sin. As for the one who simply makes lip service without istighfar, but continues with their heart in determination to commit that sin, then it will not benefit them. So a person who will follow this way in repentance, here the women specifically, but likewise men as well. وَأَكْفِرْنَا الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. This is from the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the believing women specifically. They should give charity often. And likewise, They should seek forgiveness abundantly, meaning in the manner that has preceded, making sincere repentance. Even if a person fell into committing the same sin again, they will complete the process over. And this is considered true repentance. And they will strive to avoid that sin. And then even if something later happens and it overcomes them and they fall victim to their desires and the whispers of the devil and they fall back into that same sin, whenever they regain their senses and they come back to the reality and they remember Allah Azza wa Jal and His favor and His blessing and that they violated His rights, they will feel remorse again, and they will repent again, and they will have determination again, and they will continue upon this way, and they will leave the sin, and they will take the means, and that sin will be removed. And it will be washed and cleansed. Alhamdulillah. So this is the true repentance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is ordering here. Then after that, he mentioned the wisdom from that. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَإِنِّي رَأَيْتُكُنَّ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. Because indeed I saw that you are the majority of the people of the hellfire. Yani that the majority of the people of the hellfire, they are women. The majority of the people of the hellfire, they are women. And this is directly related to the chapters we have been discussing previously about the fitna of the women. Those women who are lewd, those women who are negligent in their religion and in their faith, then they are a fitna and a trial for themselves and for others. And for this reason, their destination and abode is the blazing flame. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ فَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةٌ مِّنْهُنَّ جَزْلَةٌ. So a sound-minded woman from amongst them, she asked now, مَا لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَكْثَرُ أَحْلِنَا. Why are we, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the majority of the people of the hellfire? And she's asking again to know. This is a proper question here for the one who is sincere, the one who is truthful. They want to know the reason why the majority of the people in the hellfire is women. What landed them in the fire? What was the reason or the means that led them to the hellfire? And this is important for a believer to realize, just as it's incumbent to learn the truth, to uphold it and to abide by it, likewise one must learn falsehood in order to avoid it and stay away from it. In order to avoid it and stay away from it. عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. And the poet, he mentioned that I learned about evil, not for the sake of evil, but in order to avoid it or to take precaution from it. Because the one who does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into it. He will fall into it. So they ask, what is the reason? What is the reason? In order to know, in order to have insight, in order to avoid the likes of those traits and characteristics and those statements and deeds that led the majority of the women to the hellfire, to the hellfire. قَالَ تُكْثِرْنَا لَعْنَا. You curse often. You curse often. And he's saying, and he's putting the curse on the people, saying, لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى فُلَانٍ. And the likes cite, لَعْنَكَ اللَّهُ. And the likes cite this. May Allah curse you. May Allah curse so-and-so. May Allah curse it. May Allah curse that. In the English language, it's similar to what they say here in America. They say, damn it. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. That means the curse. May it be damned. They say the likes of this. This is what the Latin means, to be damned. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Meaning that a person will be cast far away from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal and His help. Rather, a person who is damned, or a person who is cursed, or the one who has the la'na of Allah Azza wa Jal, then he is cast far from the mercy of Allah, and therefore the anger of Allah has befallen him. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So this is from their traits and the reasons why they're in the hellfire, because they're cursing people all the time and talking bad about them and calling them names. Cursing them all the time, talking bad about them and calling them names. وَتَكْفُرْنَا الْأَشِيرِ. And also you're ungrateful to your husbands. Also, you're ungrateful to your husbands. And the other narration likewise, وَيَكْفُرْنَا الْإِحْسَانِ. And they do not recognize and acknowledge the good treatment that is done to them. They forget all of that in one moment whenever something doesn't go right or according to their ways. The first thing that one of them will say is that, oh, you never do this and you never do that. Or you always do this and you always do that. Forgetting all of the times, using these absolute statements like this is improper and very dangerous. Improper and very dangerous, especially whenever in reality that's not the case. You never. But in reality, that's not the case. Maybe sometimes this happened or that happened, but it's not you never. Rather, if a person wanted to sit down and take them to account, they could count. Well, what about this time and that time and that time and that time and that time? And you're saying you never. So by making mubalagha in this manner, and in reality neglecting and forgetting about all these other times of goodness and this good treatment and leaving that all behind at the case of one mistake or one error or one shortcoming or one fault, this is from the reasons why these women, they're in the hellfire. So therefore, a believing woman, she will learn about this affair and strive to not be like that and to check the tongue. And these affairs here, many times they occur by way of the tongue. By way of the tongue, and that's going back to what is in the heart. What is in the heart? So they're cursing the people, calling the people names, backbiting the people, talking bad about them, spreading tales and talking about rumors and the likes like this. This is all not from the ways of a believing male nor a believing female, of a believing man nor of a believing woman. If we remember in the very first chapters, there's the chapter about the ills and diseases of the tongue. The ills and the diseases of the tongue. And this is something that the man and the woman are tried with, but many times the women are tried greater. And we see that from that is a reason why the majority of the people of the hellfire are women, because they use their tongue improperly, cursing the people, calling them names, and talking bad about them. And likewise, they're ungrateful to the husband. Many times that ungratitude is displayed in their statements, just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ لَوْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَىٰ إِحْدَاهُنَّ الدَّهْرَ ثُمَّ رَأَتْ مِنْكَ شَيْئًا قَالَتْ مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْكَ خَيْرًا قَبْلًا. If you did good to them all of the time, if you did good to one of them all of the time, and then she sees something from you, any that she dislikes or disapproved of, قالت, she will say, any with her tongue, ما رأيت منك خيرا قط. I never seen you do anything good ever. You never. So these are statements that a Muslim woman should avoid specifically, but likewise the male as well. But this is an issue here about النساء. النساء, يا معشر النساء, أو assembly of women. O assembly of women. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ نَقِصَاتِ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ أَغْلَبَ لِذِي لُبٍ مِنْكُنَّ. And I have not seen anyone with deficiency in their reasoning and their religion having greater ability to overcome a wise man than you. And meaning that a man who initially should be a person of firm resolve and determination and of wise thinking and of patience and forbearance, if he's not careful, he'll be tried by the woman until he will lose his mind. Till he will lose his mind, and he will be the one who has deficiency in reasoning and deficiency in religion because of being tried by the trials of women. So here this is a warning from being tried by the trials of women, and that they're very dangerous, that even a sound-minded man, a person of firm religion and faith and determination and strong resolve, if he's not careful, he could be tried by the women until he loses his mind and becomes deficient in his intellect and his reasoning and his thoughts, and he can be overpowered and taken advantage by the women, by the temptations of women, until he has weakness in his faith and in his deen likewise. So there's a warning here with regards to this. This is the reason for mentioning this. It's not intended from this narration to degrade or diminish the status of women. Rather, it highlights the natural differences that Allah has created between men and women. And that this is something that Allah has created, the male and the female, in this manner. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like the female. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And the men, they have a level or status a grade higher than the women. This is all from the wisdom of the creation of men and women from the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these texts, they have come to clarify these affairs. So no doubt the women, they have a high and lofty status in that Islam. We have seen a number of examples of that. The rights of the mother is great. And likewise, the right of the wife is very great, and the right of the daughters as well, they're very great, and the aunts as well, they're very great, and the women in general, they have a high and lofty status, and that is them. How many women have been, how many women were behind the righteous men, like the mother of Imam Malik, and like the mother of Imam Ahmad, and until the end of the examples that are well known, and the mother of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu and hunna jami'an, and the likes like this. So the women, they have a high and lofty status, and they're honored in this in Islam. So this narration here is not intended to degrade the women or diminish the status of women. Rather, this is something that is known. Women, they have a high and lofty status. This is clarifying the reality of these affairs, and the reality of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then one of them, she says, قَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا نُقْصَانُ أَقْلٍ وَالدِّينِ. So now she's asking again, what is the reality of this? And in order to understand, not in opposition to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather asking in order to know and to learn, and to have insight and to have knowledge. So what does it mean to have shortcomings or deficiency in reasoning and deen? O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَالَ أَمَّا نُقْصَانُ الْأَقْلِ فَشَهَادَةُ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَعْدِيدُ شَهَادَةَ رَجُلٍ. As for the deficiency or shortcoming in reasoning, then this is the fact that the testimony of two women equals the testimony of a man. And this is in reference to what Allah has mentioned in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِلَّمْ يَكُونَ رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ أَنْ تَضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. When in reference to the affairs of taking witnesses in contracts of business and trade with regards to financial affairs, then there should be witnesses in certain circumstances. This is something that's recommended, and there should be two men. And then Allah mentioned, if there's not two men available, then one man and two women. From that which you agree for, witnesses. And that is so that if one of them errs from the women, the other one will remind her. So this is the case with regards to testimony. This is the case with regards to giving testimony and financial matters. That in certain cases, if there are not two men to testify and bear witness, and there's a man and two women, then the testimony of these two women will equal that of one man. فَهَذَا نُقْصَانُ عَقْلِهَا. So this is So this is the deficiency or shortcoming in her reasoning. The deficiency or shortcoming in her reasoning. So the people of Nar, as I mentioned, ليس المراد بالعقل هنا ضد الجنون. It's not intended. العقل, what is intended from the word عقل here, which many times means intelligence, and the opposite of that is insanity. This is not what is intended by the word عقل here. And that is the opposite of insanity. That is the opposite of insanity, that she has no intelligence. That's not what is intended. ولكن المراد بذلك عقل الأشياء وضبطها. But what is intended rather is to reason with things and to understand them precisely as they are, and to understand them precisely and correctly as they are. والعقل الذي نقصه النساء هو التثبت في الأمور والتحقيق فيها والبلوغ فيها إلى غاية الكمال. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that the reasoning that's referred to here, that the women have a shortcoming with regards to, this is making it تثبت في الأمور, to verify in affairs, to verify affairs and to check into them properly, to make sure that they're correct and that they're true, and to go to details with regards to that, reaching the proper understanding. Many times maybe they're hasty and these affairs or their emotions will overcome them, and they will not verify and check into the details and realities of affairs many times the way that men will. And this is in general. So the deficiency or shortcomings in the reasoning or in the intellect here is referring to the women's ability to recall in cases of testimony, where it's legislated that the testimony of two women will equal that of the testimony of a man. And this is in the case of financial matters. So this consideration here is based on women's emotional nature, which may affect memory in such matters and not an overall deficiency in their intellect or mind. And this is from the natural disposition that the women are created, they're created in their emotional nature, that many times their memory may be affected in these affairs. So therefore, this is something that Allah has decreed and legislated, that the testimony of two women in these financial affairs will equal that of one man. So the testimony of two women for a man is not an absolute. It's not in an absolute sense. It's not understood absolutely in every case. Rather, this is in financial matters and the likes. As for example, like breastfeeding and the lineage that comes along from breastfeeding, so on and so forth. These affairs here are in the hands of the women, and if a woman who's reliable testifies that this child had breastfed this many times and now has taken the lineage from this woman or that woman, then her testimony will be accepted alone. And she will not need the testimony of another woman or of a man. And this is because it has a direct relationship to the affairs of the religion. So therefore, it's a testimony based upon religion, not upon dunya, based upon the deen, not upon the worldly life. So likewise, in this aspect, a number of the people of knowledge have mentioned that with regards to the entrance of Ramadan and the obligation of fasting, if there's a reliable woman who testified that she saw the new moon, then her testimony will be accepted. A number of the people of knowledge have mentioned that. And her lone testimony alone, that she witnessed the new moon of Ramadan, then the entrance of Ramadan will be established, and the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan will be established based upon the testimony of this woman. So the fact that her testimony is half of a man's, this is only in certain cases and certain issues and not in the absolute sense. For example, even if there were cases of financial matters and there are no men and there are the testimony of four women, this will not suffice. Rather, what will suffice is the testimony of one man and two women. So if there are four women taking the place of two men, this will not be accepted. Rather, it must be one man and two women. So the woman's testimony being considered half of the testimony of a man, this is not in the absolute sense. Rather, there are certain cases where this is legislated and where this will be applied. But in any case, this is what the Prophet ﷺ is clarifying, that there's a deficiency here, that there's a deficiency or that there is a shortcoming from this aspect. As for in the religion or as for in the deen, so the people of knowledge here, they mention what deen huna yuradu bihi al-ibadat. What deen huna yuradu bihi al-ibadat. The word deen here, nuqsan, naqisat, aqlin wa deen, that there's shortcomings or deficiency in their reasoning and in their deen. What is being referred to here in the deen, meaning the actions of worship. وَلَيْسَ نُقْصَانُ وَذَلِكَ فِي حَقِّهِنِ ذَمَّا. And that, and the fact that there's a deficiency here or shortcoming in their right, this is not blameworthy for them. وَلَيْسَ نُقْصَانُ وَذَلِكَ فِي حَقِّهِنَّ ذَمَّا لَهُنَّ. This is not blaming them. This is not blaming them. وَإِنَّمَا ذَكَرَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَحْوَالِهِنَّ عَلَى مَعْنَى التَّعَجُّبِ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ حيث يغلبهم من نقص عن درجاتهم ولم يبلغ كمالهم. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he only mentioned it in this light here to show amazement of how some men, they will be overcome by those who are under them or lesser than them in these affairs, in this level. They're lower than them in level, and they did not reach the level that they have reached of reasoning and of religion and the likes like this, but yet still, if they're not cautious, they can be overcome and tried by women. So there's a warning here with regards to that. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that. These benefits here are from Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, Al-Qurtubi, Al-Muhaddith, Abu al-Abbas, Ahmad ibn Umar. He died in the year 656. He has an explanation of Sahih Muslim. He has an explanation of Sahih Muslim, Qal al-Mufhim. So these were from the benefits that he mentioned in that explanation, Rahimahullahu ta'ala. We see likewise here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered the women to give charity. This is the first thing that he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tasaddaqna, you should give charity. And the order for giving charity has a great benefit. Great benefit here, especially related to the admonishment and the issue being discussed in the narration that the women are the majority of the dwellers of the hellfire. So from the ways to be safe from that is to give charity. And from the ways to be safe from that, likewise, to seek repentance and ask Allah to forgive one often. Seek forgiveness and to make repentance often. And likewise, to learn about the traits of those women in the hellfire and to strive to avoid them. As for the issue of a sadaqah, giving charity, then there's a number of benefits. Number one, لِأَنَّ الصَّدَقَ تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيَّةَ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ الْمَاءَ النَّارِ. And a number of benefits for mentioning a number of benefits for ordering charity in this case. Any in this situation here. لِأَنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيَّةَ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ الْمَاءَ النَّارِ. It's just because giving charity, it puts out the sin, just like the water puts out the fire. Number two, وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِهَا أَنَّهَا تَدْفَعُ مِيتَةَ السُّوءِ فَتُكُونُ سَبَبًا لِحُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ. That also, giving charity, from its benefits is that it will repel having a bad ending. It will repel and be a means by the permission of Allah to protect a person from having a bad death, from dying in a foul and lonely way. فَتُكُونُ سَبَبًا لِحُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ. And it will be a reason for a person to have a good ending. Giving charity often is a reason for a person to have a good ending. Number three, أَنَّهَا تَكُونُ ظِلًّا عَلَى صَاحِبِهَا يَوْمْ الْقِيَامَةِ. And also that the charity will be a shade for the person who gives charity on the day of resurrection. It's been connected by Imam Ahmed from the narration of Abu al-Khayr, rahimahullahu ta'ala, from the Tabi'in. He's narrating on Uqba ibn Amir, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu mri'in fi dhilli sadaqatihi hatta yufsala bayna an-nas. That every individual, meaning on the day of resurrection, he will be under the shade of his charity until the people are separated. Aw qala yuhkama bayna an-nas. Or he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or until the people are judged, the judgment is made against the people, or until the judgment is made against the people. The narrator who narrates on Abu al-Khayr, rahimahullah, Yazid, he says, وَكَانَ أَبُو الْخَيْرِ لَا يُخْطِئُهُ يَوْمٌ إِلَّا تَصَدَّقَ فِيهِ بِشَيْءٍ وَلَوْ كَعْكَ أَوْ بَصْلَ أَوْ كَذَا. He said that Abu Khair, the one who's narrating this from Uqba ibn Amr radiallahu anhu, the tabi'i, he said it was said about him that not one day would go by except he would give charity from something. He would give some type of charity, whether it's a piece of cake or whether it's an onion or something like that. He's going to give away something on that day for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal after hearing the likes of this narration, that every individual will be under the shade of his charity on the day of resurrection. So this is from the means to be protected from the foul outcome and the great harms and horrors that will occur on the day of resurrection. So this is great advice and direction from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the women. The author, she says, وَقَوْنُ الْمَرْأَةِ نَاقِصَةَ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ لَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ جَوَازُ تَعْيِيلِهَا بِهِ وَالْمَرْأَةُ تَشْعُرُ كَمَا يَشْعُرُ الرَّجُلُ وَتَتَأَلَّمُ كَمَا يَتَأَلَّمُ الرَّجُلُ. So the fact that a woman has shortcoming in reasoning and religion does not imply that it is permissible to condemn her and to speak ill of her and to talk bad about her because of her shortcomings and to blame her because of that. This is not what is intended. And that is because a woman, she has feelings in the way that a man, he has feelings. Yani, and she gets hurt in the same way that a man gets hurt. Yani, if you speak bad to people, that hurts their feelings, and the woman, she's like that. Likewise, men as well. So it's not allowed to condemn her, to blame her, to call her deficient in her reasoning, or she doesn't understand, or that she has negligence in her religion, or deficiency in her religion, and the likes like that. This is not allowed, and this is not what is intended here. وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. And Allah the Most High, He mentions, and this goes back to the issue of hurting a believer, hurting their feelings, or talking bad about them, male or female. And Allah the Most High, He says the meaning of which is, and those who annoy believing men and believing women undeservedly bear on themselves the crime of slander and plain sin. The crime of slander and plain sin. After this, he mentions here, وَيَسْتَثْنِي الْوَالِدُ رَحِيمَهُ اللَّهُ مَا كَانَ الْقَصْدُ مِنْهُ التَّأْدِيبِ. And her father, in this light, excluded that which is intended by way of discipline. Meaning if the woman, she's getting out of line, then to discipline her and to mention these affairs would be permissible. فَإِنُّهُ يَجُوزُ أَنْ تُعَيِّرُ. Meaning that it's permissible. He said it's allowed for her to be criticized for that. Now in this certain circumstance, whenever what is intended from that is to discipline and to remind and to admonish. She says, أَفَادَنِيهِ فِي جِلْسَةٍ خَاصَةٍ. أَفَادَنِيهِ فِي جِلْسَةٍ خَاصَةٍ. That he benefited, he gave me this benefit in a private sitting. Any between him, between her and her father. Between her and her father. Between her and her father. So it's not allowed to take this as a means to belittle the women, to speak ill of the women and the likes like this, and to look down upon them, but rather it's understood in the light that has preceded. Now she says, وَلَمْ يَكْمُلْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا اثْنَتَيْنِ. And from the women, none were given, granted perfection or completion except for two. قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي. قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي. الْإِمَامُ البخاري, he mentioned رحمه الله, حدثنا آدم قال حدثنا شعبة قال وحدثنا عمرو قال أخبرنا شعبة أن عمرو ابن مرة عن مرة عن أبي موسى الأشعري أنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كمل من الرجال كثير ولم يكمل من النساء إلا مريم بنت عمران وآسية امرأة فرعون وفضل عائشة على النساء كفضل الثريد على سائر الطعام على سائر الطعام. So she mentioned the narration of Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى with his chain to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said many men reached perfection but none among the women reached it except Maryam bint Imran and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the excellence of Aisha, the excellence of Aisha, radiallahu anha, over the other women is like the excellence of Thareed. Like the excellence of Thareed over other types of food. The Thareed is a type of Edam. It's a type of food that's a soup or sauce that's eaten with bread and meat. Eaten with bread and meat from the best dishes that they had in those days, from the best dishes you need to eat. is the dishes that are eaten with meat and bread and sauce. And this is the example here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is making to Aisha radiallahu anha. Radiallahu anha. Yani clarifying her great excellence and her superior status to the other women. Radiallahu anha. Radiallahu anha. So in these narrations here, there are a number of benefits. We take them one by one. Number one, Qala an-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. An-Nawawi, he mentioned in his explanation of Sahih Muslim. Wa amma wasfu nisa. وَمَا وَصْفُهُ النِّسَاءَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِنُقْصَانِ الدِّينِ لِتَرْكِهِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ وَالصَّوْمِ فِي زَمَنِ الْحَيْضِ فَقَدْ يُسْتَشْكَلْ مَعْنَاهُ وَلَيْسَ بِمُشْكِلٍ. And Nawawi, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the women as having shortcomings or deficiency in the deen because of them leaving off the salah and the sawm, because of them leaving off the salah and the sawm while there are their menses, this is something that some have found to be problematic in understanding its meaning, and it's not a problem. Bal huwa dhahir, rather it's something that is clear and apparent. Then he said, rahimahullah, fa inna dina wal imana wal islama mushtarikatun fi ma'na wahid. Mushtarikatun fi ma'na wahid. This is because the word ad-deen and the word al-Iman, and the word al-Islam, and the word al-Islam, the word deen means religion. The word al-Iman means sincere faith. The word al-Islam means al-Islam. These words here, مُشْتَرِكَةٌ فِي مَعْنَى وَاحِدٍ. They all share in one meaning. They all share in one meaning. And al-Islam is the deen, and al-Iman is al-Islam. And there's no Islam without Iman. And by way of Islam and Iman, a person establishes the deeds. A person establishes the deen. So these words, they all have a specific meaning, but they all have a general understanding that is one. That is one. So when you refer to Iman, you're referring to Islam, and you're referring to the deen, all in the same light. And he mentioned likewise, and these are summarized benefits. He says, وَأَنَّ طَاعَةَ تُسَمَّى إِيمَانًا وَدِينًا. And that the actions of obedience, they are called Iman and deen. They're called Iman and deen, yani faith and religion, the actions of obedience. This is something that is known. This is something that is known. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. And Allah, He is not going to neglect your iman. And what is referred to here is a salah. So a salah is from the actions of obedience, and it's being referred to as an iman. So this is something that is known. So the point now that he makes here, and the benefit he says, rahimahullah, وَإِذَا أُثْبِتَ هَذَا عَلِمْنَا أَنَّ مَنْ كَثُرَتْ عِبَادَتُهُ زَادَ إِمَانُهُ وَدِينُهُ. So if this is affirmed now, then we learn from this and know that the one who has more actions of worship, then his iman would increase and so would his deen. Then his iman would increase and so would his deen. And the one who does more actions of worship, properly and sincerely for the sake of Allah, this is from the means for his faith to increase. And the faith, iman, is the deen. If a person's faith increases, that means their deen increases. وَمَنْ نَقَصَتْ عِبَادَتُهُ نَقَصَ دِينُهُ. And the one who is deficient in performing actions of worship, then his deen will be considered deficient likewise. Then the deen will be considered deficient likewise. So there's deficiencies in the deen that are blameworthy, and there are other deficiencies that are not blameworthy. Any a type of deficiency that's blameworthy and a type that's not blameworthy. So if a person who were to be deficient and fall short in performing the obligations, for example, male or female, no doubt this is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. If a person was deficient, falling short in avoiding the prohibitions, this is blameworthy. This is blameworthy. As for if a person, for example, there is somebody who's wealthy, and he spent from his wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, then no doubt if he did that sincerely for the sake of Allah, his faith would increase and his deen would increase and he would become stronger in his religion. If there's a poor person, he doesn't have any wealth, he cannot give charity. So he, in this light, is deficient compared to the one who's spending left and right. He doesn't have that wealth. وَذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ. That's the grace of Allah, He gives to whom He wills. But this person is not blameworthy because he doesn't have money. He doesn't have money to spend like the other one who has money to spend. And this is the grace of Allah, He gives it as He wills. So in comparison here, this one is deficient compared to the one who's spending. But he's not held accountable for that, and it's not blameworthy for him. So here the women, they are ordered to not pray and to not fast in their menses. So the action of obedience that they perform is by leaving these affairs. So in reality, they're performing an action of obedience. And they're also drawing near to Allah in this manner. But the one who's ordered to pray and he prays is not like the one who's ordered to not pray and doesn't pray. Both of them are obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla, but it's not equal. But it's not equal. Both of them are obedient. Both of them are obedient to Allah Azza wa Jalla, but it's not equal. The one who's ordered to pray and to fast, and he prays and fasts, he's establishing the obedience of Allah. And the one who's ordered to not pray and to not fast, and they do not pray, they do not fast, then likewise, this is an obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, but the two are not equal. But the two, they're not equal. So there's a deficiency here. One is lesser than the other. One is lesser than the other. This is also from the benefit here that we see, that in general, jins al-rajul afdal min jins al-mar'a. Jins al-rajul afdal min jins al-mar'a. That the male gender is more virtuous than the female gender. This is something that is known. وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. So this is something that is established. But that doesn't mean that every man is better than every woman. Rather, there are many women that are greater than many men. There are many women that are greater than many men, But in general, the male gender is created better and more virtuous than the female gender. This is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the wisdom of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So this is not something that is considered blameworthy in the likes like this, but this is from the creation of Allah. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Similarly like this, in order to understand, the Arab race is better than any other race, the race of the Arab. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he was selected from the Arab and not from the other races, because the Arab race is the superior race. But that doesn't mean that every Arab is better than every non-Arab. Rather, there are many non-Arabs who are better than many Arabs. But in general, this race is better than that one. And this is why the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ is coming from here, because he's the best of the best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So not every man is better than every woman. Rather, many women are better than many men. This is in a general case here. Not every Arab is better than every non-Arab. Rather, there are many non-Arab who are better than many Arab. This is just in a general case here. This is all also clarified here. And in many men, كَمَلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ وَلَمْ يَكْمُوا مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا اثنتان. That many men have reached perfection, but only two from the women had reached perfection. It's the clarification of the issue that we're discussing, and evidence for that. Number two, الحث على الصدقة وأفعال البر والإكثار من الاستغفار والسائر الطاعات. From the benefits of these narrations, likewise, is a great encouragement to give charity and to increase in the actions of righteousness and to seek forgiveness often and to perform lots of actions of obedience, any hoping for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and a good ending. Number three, بيان أن الصدقة تدفع العذاب وأنها تكفر الذنوب عادتي بين المخلوقين. The third benefit is the clarification that charity is a means to repel the punishment, to repel the punishment, and that it expiates the sins that occur between the people. وأن إكثار الحسنات سبب لتكفير السيئات. And that by doing a lot of good deeds is a reason to expiate the bad deeds. كما قال تعالى, just as Allah the Most High, He said, إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Indeed, the good deeds, they wipe out the bad deeds. Number four, بيان أن كفران العشير من الكبائر. The clarification that being ungrateful to the husband is from the major sins. فإن الوعيد بالنار من علاماتي كون المعصية كبيرة. Because a threat for the punishment of the hellfire is from the signs indicating that an action of disobedience is a major crime, is a major sin. Number five, أن فيه إطلاق الكفر على غير الكفر بالله تعالى ككفر العشير والإحسان والنعمة والحق وغيرها من الذنوب التي لا تخرج من الملة تغليظا على فاعليها. The fifth benefit here, we see that the word kufr is being used to refer to other than disbelieving in Allah. Like kufr al-ashir, showing ungratitude to the husband and to fail to acknowledge the good treatment and the blessing, and also to not give others their rights. This is all from aspects of kufr. يعني كفران النعمة وكفران الحق وكفران الإحسان وكفران الأشير. All of these are aspects of kufr, but it's not disbelief. But it's not considered disbelief or disbelieving in Allah. Or disbelieving in Allah. And either these affairs are used, this word kufr is used to refer to these sins that do not take a person out of the religion. But the wisdom from that, تَغْرِيضًا عَلَى فَاعِلِهِ, to be stern against the one who performs it. To clarify that this is not a light affair. This is a major affair. No, it's not disbelief. It doesn't take one out of the religion, but it's not something light. No, it's not disbelief. It doesn't take a person out of the religion, but it's not something light. It's not something like. وَمِثْلُهُ إِطْلَاقُ نَفِي الْإِيمَانِ الدَّالِي عَلَى تَرْكِ وَاجِبٍ أَوْ إِرْتِكَابِ مُحَرَّمٍ. Similar like this usage here of the word disbelief, or the word kufr, to refer to something lesser than disbelief, is also whenever the faith has been negated. Nafyul iman, whenever the faith is negated in the text, and this indicates that a person has left off an obligation that must be performed, or that they perpetrated something that is forbidden, and indicating that they performed a major crime. Number six, بيان أن جحد النعم حرام وكذا كثرة استعمال الكلام القبيح. الكلام القبيح كاللعن والشتم. The clarification that belying the blessings and favors is haram and impermissible. And likewise, using foul and lowly speech all the time, like cursing and calling people bad names. This is not allowed, nor is it permissible. Number seven, وليس المقصود بذكر النقص في النساء لومهن على ذلك. And it's not intended by mentioning this deficiency here with regards to the women or the shortcomings that they have to blame them. It's not intended to blame them. This is not mentioned here blaming them or finding fault with them. لأنه من أصل الخلقة. Because this is from the fundamental of their creation, this is how they're created. You know, the women are created in this manner. They have menses and they have emotions and they're affected in these ways. And this is something that is known, that Allah has created them from their natural disposition that they have been created upon. So therefore it's not blameworthy or a means of blaming them. He says, but it's mentioned, لكن التنبيه على ذلك تحذيرا من الافتتان بهن. But here, mentioning this is to draw attention to the fact, and to draw attention and to take warning from being tried by them. ولهذا رتب العذاب على ما ذكر من الكفران وغيره لا على النقص. And for this reason, we find in this narration that the punishment that they're receiving was because of being ungrateful and cursing the people, not because of their deficiency in their reasoning nor in their deen. So the deficiency was not the reason for them being punished in the fire, but rather the reason for them being punished in the fire was because they're using their tongue unlawfully, speaking ill of the people, cursing them and calling them bad names, and they're ungrateful to their husbands, and they refuse to acknowledge the good treatment that he has provided for them. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.